pre-hearing conference regarding four applications to appropriate water filed by Cat Creek Energy LLC. The applications are numbered 63-34403, 63-34652, 63-34900, and 63-34987. And I'm sorry for the long recitation, but we are recording this pre-hearing conference today. There are lots of people on the telephone today, and there are a few people here in the department. We don't have any of the parties, but thank you for participating by distance. I think that's safer for all of us at this point. So let's call roll, and I'll have the folks here in the department, and we have a number of department folks or deputies, attorney general here in the office. So I will again introduce myself, Gary Spackman, and then in a clockwise direction around the table and tables in our conference room.
Derek Baxter, appearing for the department.
Thanks, Gary.
Sean Costello, appearing for the
department. Thank you.
Nick Miller for the department.
Caitlin McCoy, department.
Kimberly English for the department.
Okay, so we tried to outnumber all of you, but I think we were probably unsuccessful. All right, let me just call roll, and if you'd respond, I'd appreciate it. So, Cat Creek Energy.
Morning, Greg. Good morning. Wayne Pett is on the phone, and I believe I may have other representatives. One of the principals, John Faulkner, the project manager, James Herculis, and also David Cuthill.
Hal Anderson is also here.
Thank you, Hal. All right, and then protestants. Alan Thompson.
Present.
Thank you, Alan. Valentine Ditch.
Yes, this is Bryce Ferris representing Valentine Ditch and a number of other ditch companies listed as protestants.
Thanks, Bryce. And as I come to the other ditch companies, I'll just mention them and at least defer to you as I call roll. Boise Project Board of Control.
Yep. Al Barker here.
Thank you, Al. Boise Valley Irrigation Ditch Company, Bryce. Canyon County Water Company, Bryce. And sound off, Bryce, if I'm not properly identifying. City of Boise.
Morning, Director. Abby Kennedy representing the City of Boise. John Walton is also on the phone with the City of Boise.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Abby Germain.
Oh, Abby, sorry. I didn't pick up, so thank you, Abby. City of Meridian.
Director Charlie Hodson, representing the City of Meridian. Kyle Maddox may be on the phone as well.
Okay, thank you, Charlie.
Apparently not.
District of Park Center and Esbar Ranch.
Yes, Director. This is Dana Hofstetter calling Tromso for the District and Park Center and Esbar Ranch. And also on the phone listening in is Chris Stevens with Esbar in the district. Also, Boo Dodson of my office and Heidi Welsh with Groundwater Engineers and Tony Jones post-submitted declaration proceeding.
Thank you, Dana. Farmers Cooperative Ditch Company, Bryce. Gwynn Rice Ranch.
Yes,
Idaho Conservation League. Not here today. Marie, are you there? Okay. Idaho Department of Fish and Game.
Director, this is Ann Bondi for the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. I also believe that Department of Fish and Game staff, Tom Vasista and Frank Edelman, are also on the phone. And I am also representing the Department of Land.
Okay, thank you. It's helpful, Ann. That was the next entity on my list. Idaho Power Company.
Good morning, Director John Simpson.
Thank you, John. Middleton Mill Ditch, Bryce. Middleton Irrigation Association, Bryce. Nampa Meridian Irrigation District. Bryce Ferris, New Dry Creek Ditch. Let me just read through all of these. Pioneer Ditch Company and Pioneer Irrigation District. All Bryce Ferris. Bryce, you're carrying a heavy load today. Maybe we should ask you to speak first. I won't make you do that.
Director,
yeah.
This is Andy Wald. Actually, Pioneer Irrigation District filed a separate protest, separate from the ditch company, so I'm on here on behalf of Pioneer.
Oh, great. Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay, Riverside Irrigation District.
That's me, Director Speckman, Al Barker.
Thank you again. Settlers Irrigation District, Bryce. South Boise Water Company, Bryce. Suez Water.
This is Mike Lawrence for Suez, Mr. Gray.
Thank you, Michael. Thurman Mill Ditch Company. Bryce? Treetop Ranches, Mr. Mulder?
Director, this is Dylan Lawrence. I haven't had an opportunity yet to file a notice of appearance, but I'm calling in on behalf of Treetop Ranches today.
Thank you, Dylan. Trout Unlimited.
Peter Anderson here from Trout Unlimited. We have an intern, Ivory Williams, who may be on the line.
Thank you, Peter. Bureau of Land Management.
Good morning, Director. Fred Price and Sandra McRae for BLM.
Thank you, Fred. Bureau of Reclamation.
Good morning, Director. This is Lisa Lamb.
Thank you, Lisa. Wendy Combs. And Wildlands Defense. Okay, that's the list of participants that I have in front of me. Have I left anybody out?
Director Speckman?
Yeah.
I apologize. This is Dylan Lawrence again. I should have mentioned before, I'm also calling on behalf of Elmore County. Elmore County was left off of the orders consolidating all of the Cat Creek applications that we recently found out we were parties to this. Ms. English has added us to the certificate of service from here on out, but I just wanted to mention that since we didn't come up with a roll call. Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan, and I apologize if we have not included Elmore County. if Elmore County is a protest. Okay. That's a long list, and we probably have a number of things to talk about today. All of you should have received from me, I think, at least by email, if not by hard copy, a couple of orders related to pending motions or petitions. One of them was a motion for a protective order that Cat Creek filed, and I reviewed the information, financial information that was submitted to me, and it was submitted in camera, and I reviewed it and determined in the order that I issued that there was nothing proprietary or confidential that I could see in the information submitted. And so the order required that that information be posted to the share site maintained by Cat Creek. I'm unaware that it's been posted, but I'll let Mr. Budge address that issue. The other order was related to a petition for clarification regarding discovery, and at least right now, I didn't impose any restrictions on discovery in terms of the number of interrogatories or any other restrictions, hoping that this large number of parties will not overload the Cat Creek or anybody else with an undue or burdensome number of discovery requests. And I reserve the right to look at that issue as we go along and determine, because I think Cat Creek makes a good argument that they could be overwhelmed with the request. But at least right now, I'm not inclined to restrict the parties. So at this point in time, and I know that there's at least a portion of the motions that were filed by District of Park Center and SBAR Ranch that remain unanswered at this point. And we can talk about that, Dana, as we go along. So at least my thought process, given the number of people that we have participating, I want to turn to Randy Budge first. I want, Randy, you to present any information you want to present, including any suggestions for scheduling or moving forward. You represent the applicant. And then because of the very active participation by the District Park Center and SBAR Ranch and the pending portion of the motion, the Rule 4005 motion that was filed, I want to give Dana a chance to talk about it, and then we'll open it up to the other parties. So, Randy, I'd invite your participation.
And Director Scott, okay, and I apologize for interrupting, but this is Marie Kellner with the Conservation League. I did just join and wanted to let people know. I apologize for the interruption.
Thank you, Marie. Randy?
Thank you, Director and Hardy. Yeah, I think the Director laid out where we are. The one area that I thought we might start with is the pending motion of Marius and Park Center. They renewed motion for Rule 40.5 information. And we would like to have some idea, according to the Director, might rule on that. And we want to make sure we have an opportunity, the Director has a full record to review, and also that he has an opportunity to consider the additional information we do intend to post on the share file. What has raised an area of concern is the order on motion for protective order that was issued 2 days ago on the 14th is a matter that we will need to have some opportunity to further evaluate and discuss with our client. What was of concern concern is in footnote number two of that order, we had filed a reply brief, and in the reply brief, we addressed issues that were pending on the motion for protective order that were raised by BARS and others, particularly with respect to the applicability of the Trade Secret Act and what is a reasonable method to protect trade secrets that have been identified by the applicant here. So we most likely we need to decide whether or not the client wishes to file a motion to reconsider the order on protective order issued 2 days ago. And what is particularly concerning is it appears that that order requires that information the tax treat considered to be trade secrets and proprietary not only be released to the parties, but to the public at large. And we had proposed in our motion what we thought was a reasonable strategy that met the requirements for information being made available to the parties on a transparent basis while still protecting the need for confidentiality of claimed trade secrets. And that mechanism was a proposed non-disclosure agreement so that information could be made available to all of the parties and their representatives that would agree to keep it secret. And as opposed to the order we have now that essentially says that information has to be made available to the world. And the reason that is particularly concerning and grave concerns, frankly, Cat Creek is that proprietary information not only could disadvantage Cat Creek, but provide a significant competitive advantage to other competitors in a request or proposal process that is out there now. Pacificorp in particular, that where they anticipated to be up to 200 renewable energy projects were going to be buying for power purchase agreements, including Cat Creek. That RFP information was part of our reply brief, and the director did not consider that brief. The brief contained two parts, one that addressed the motion for protective order, part one, which was not considered when the court issued the, when the director, issued the order on motion protective order 2 days ago. And then the second part of that brief provided further information addressing the pending motion of BARS regarding the adequacy of the Rule 40.5 financial information. So that's kind of a long introduction. I will tell the director of the party that Cat Creek does intend to file post on the share file additional information they consider confidential. They're very concerned about the damage that that may cause, but it is outweighed by Cat Creek's desire to move forward with this permitting process. And we do think that it's quite imperative and important that the director have this additional posting information available to consider when he makes a ruling on the order, a ruling on the adequacy of the financial information showing. So the timing of what the director intends to make that ruling is pretty significant to know. One, because we may have to file a motion to reconsider with respect to the protective order in order to bring to the attention of the director the information contained in part one of the reply brief, which the director is not considering for purposes of the protective order, but does intend to consider for purposes of the order relating to the sufficiency of the financial information. And if we proceed with that motion for clarification, then that will help us to decide what volume of that information we will be posting on share file. But we certainly want the director to have in the record and able to consider when he issued the ruling on the adequacy of the financial information that we were afforded. So that's where we are on those issues, that we need some direction with respect to the timing, and hope the director would give us an opportunity to, one, decide, are we going to file a motion to reconsider on that protective order, and two, what of the financial information that we deem is confidential, the director believes is not, we will in fact post on the share file. So at this point, we think those motions all need to be resolved with finality before we have a hearing. So at this point, we're not requesting a hearing date be scheduled. We would suggest another pre-hearing conference in perhaps 3 or 4 months. And if we're going to look at trying to block out a potential hearing date, identify a week about a year from now.
Okay, thank you, Randy. So before I invite the protestants to participate, Dana, I'll come to you first. But I want to respond to some of Randy's suggestions. First of all, I issued an order that determined that the information that was submitted in camera to me, at least based on my review and the review staff, was not entitled to protection, that it was not confidential, and that it didn't rise to the level of being a trade secret, and was not proprietary, and that it be disclosed. So, Randy, if you want to have me reconsider that decision, I don't have another decision to write on that subject. If you want me to reconsider that decision, then I think you have the responsibility of filing a motion for reconsideration. Otherwise, the order is there and it stands. So I don't think that's something that you should wait on, or that I need to be writing some additional determination. And so if you want me to reconsider it, I think it's your responsibility to timely file the motion for reconsideration. And
yes, so I fully agree with you, Gary, on that. And I think we may do so, and the difficulty is with the order simply being issued 2 days ago, but something we have to consult with the client on further to decide whether they want to or not. But my thinking is at this point, we just I just wanted to alert the director and party that we have not had a chance to consult with the client on that, and we are considering a motion to reconsideration simply because that part of our reply brief that we submitted was not considered, and a motion to reconsider would give us an opportunity to present those arguments and supporting authority to the director that the director did not consider previously.
All right, now let's just talk briefly about the adequacy, or the determination of the adequacy of the submittal as required by Rule 4005. And I could refer to Rule 4005 and okay, we have somebody that's not muted. Hello? Okay, perhaps we are. Thank you. So we were talking about the adequacy of the submittal. And as I read the rule, some of the remedies or the penalties for inadequate submittals are discretionary, and the director may impose those requirements or those penalties for inadequate submittal. And I'm not ready to do that right now. not ready to penalize, and part of the reason is that the financial information has not been posted, and the parties have not had a chance to review it. And so, from my perspective, before I do anything related to the adequacy, we need to have a full disclosure of that information, and we need to work through the processes. So, anyway, with that general statement, Dana, I'm probably ahead of you a little bit, but I invite your response.
Thank you, Director Spackman. Yes, I'd like to direct everyone's attention to Exhibit A to the response and renewed motion we filed on June 30th. It's a chart detailing, the chart was prepared by Heidi Welsh, who's on the phone with Stormwater Engineers. She reviewed all of the documents on the website, on the repository, and she compares them to the information requirements of Rule 40.05. And in the color-coded chart, the red items are items that, in her opinion, are missing, that are the Rule 40.05 information that's missing from the repository. What I'd like to do is just sort of briefly run through the chart and explain why we believe the Rule 40 information that's on the repository at this point is lacking. But first I'd like
to... Excuse me for interrupting very much, Dana. The director, I don't believe that pre-hearing conference is the proper time or form to argue the motion. It is pending before the director as filed by VARS with respect to the adequacy of the Rule 40.05 information. They can file their information, they file their declaration, they file their brief. Actually, can file a response brief, and the director, I don't think, has noticed that oral argument here, and it appears that the Hofstetter, in due respect for her, she now wants to go ahead and orally argue her motion. I don't think that's necessary, nor is the time appropriate. The arguments have been set forth in the brief so far.
Dana?
Well, Director Spackman, this is a pending renewed motion. We all had advance notice that this would be on the agenda because it is a pending motion. And in the recent order on the motion for protective order, in a footnote, the director indicated that it was a pending motion and that it would be decided by separate order. I don't plan to go over anything other than what's in our briefing that Mr. Budd should be fully aware of the deficiencies we found, and he should be prepared to address them at this time. This is a motion we renewed in June 30th, and it's been pending for some time before that, and so he's had the information quite some time. We did update this appendix, Exhibit A, when the repository was somewhat reorganized and 11 additional documents were added. But bottom line is the information is woefully lacking. Their general study, there's nothing specific to the project or the informational requirements under Rule 40. And that's pretty much what the chart says. And I'd just like to point out one other thing, that the applicant says, well, we can deal with this information, we can provide this information in discovery.
Excuse me, Ms. Hofstetter, I apologize for that, but I raised an
objection
that you're simply making an oral argument.
Mr. Buzz, you're interrupting me again. I'm responding to your comments as to why we should hear this today, and I gave you the privilege of not interrupting you. This is the second time you've interrupted me.
Well, I apologize, but the director...
well, I know, because I'm
continuing.
All right.
No, because I'm...
All right.
...your comments.
All right, both...
I'm responding to your
comments. I think
comments.
We've gone...
Both Ms. Hofstetter and Mr. Budge, I need both of you now not to speak. One of the problems with the telephone conference is that it's much more difficult to control the conversation remotely and electronically than it is in person. And if the conversation can't be, engaged in a way that doesn't cause multiple interruptions, we may just have to cut it short and require in-person attendance. So let me just respond and say that I don't intend to address this particular motion today. It's still pending. I appreciate the efforts on the part of Dana Hofstetter and those who she's employed to carefully work through the documents in the share site, and it's valuable to me, but we have some additional documents that will be posted as a result of the order, and then as a result of any ruling on a motion for reconsideration. And so I don't intend to respond to the renewed motion today, and frankly, it would be helpful once the additional information is posted, the financial information, that I receive some confirmation from Ms. Hofstetter and from any of the other parties about a renewal of the motion. But I won't rule on it until after the financial information, in whatever form it's posted on the share site, is posted and shared with the parties. All right, so that should cut the conversation regarding ruling on the motion and arguing about it. It should eliminate that discussion. Okay. Now, I want to just revisit a comment by Mr. Budge regarding scheduling. We had originally reserved a week starting January 11th for a hearing regarding these four applications. Mr. Budge, you are now suggesting that the hearing date and the reserve dates be extended or delayed, and perhaps delayed out a year.
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. All right, do we have statements now by either Dana, you can again participate, or any of the other protesters at this point? I've got you all wanting to participate. Go ahead. Sorry.
This is Dana Hofstetter again. Are you asking for comments at this point on the proposal to postpone the hearing date, or I'm not clear on what you're asking for comments on at this point?
Well, postpone the hearing date and other matters related to procedures or preparation. I don't want to go back and revisit the issue of the director ruling or not ruling today, or the timing of the ruling on the motion for or related to the Rule 4005 submittals.
Director Spafford, I do have a few additional comments, and I'll steer clear of the substance of our pending motion. But it is important to have the Rule 40 information. That being said, and I would think that we have a scheduled
hearing date at this point, the week of January 11th, 2021. I think that if the applicant wants to try to extend that date, that they should file a motion and let the party formally respond to that. But I'm not, without any information other than they would like an extension at this point, it doesn't seem justified. And the more the hearing date is extended, the more cost to the other parties. And frankly, it raises the question of whether these are speculative applications if the applicant's not prepared to provide the necessary information to go forward.
Well, in response, as I recall the conversation, the date for a hearing, I think, was suggested by the applicant when we talked about it before. And in fact, in these administrative proceedings, I rely heavily on the applicant's suggestion about how rapidly they want to proceed. And I understand your concerns for efficiency, Dana, and for rapidly resolving these issues, but usually the exigencies are imposed by the applicant and not the protester. So I'm at least sympathetic to the request. I will also state that the hearing dates were not ordered. They were in, or the dates for hearing were identified in the preliminary recitations in a notice of pre-hearing conference. And so we were just trying to identify dates so all the parties could clear their calendars. So at least right now, I'm of the opinion that we won't make the January 11th hearing date. And part of the reason for that is I'm just looking at the procedures and what needs to be done in discovery and exchange of information beyond the Rule 4005 requirements. So I think we take the January 11th date off our calendar, and I don't know whether we want to look for another day. Maybe it's premature. Other comments?
Director, this is Ann Bondi with the Department of Fish and Game.
Go ahead, Ann.
I'd like to just offer a couple comments on the hearing schedule. I don't know if the intent is to set a formal hearing schedule today or not. If it is, we've come prepared with some proposed dates, and if it's not, that's okay. I will say that from the Department of Fish and Game perspective, we have some technical surveys, especially with regard to stage routes, that are time sensitive. And we will be wanting to do some stage route surveys actually next spring, between March 1st and April 30th. And so it's not feasible for us to get our expert reports done before that time period. So in general, we're supportive of the idea of setting the hearing out far enough next year that we can accommodate a schedule that will allow us to perform those surveys.
Director, this is Randy Pipes again. Yes, we are just in the process of getting an access agreement with Fish and Game. I just received those from Ms. Bondi this week and have sent them out for signatures, and they propose to do some surveying this fall on bird counting for the state grouse and left counting in the spring of 2021. And so we are cooperating with that. I also wanted to let the director know why it's probably more appropriate we set another status conference in 3 or 4 months and not set an exact hearing date or pre-hearing schedule. It's because the applicant also desires to continue its reach out and dialogue with many of the protesters to see if we can identify conditions that would allow the permits to be issued. That process will take some time. Fish and Game and other interests have identified an area of concern pertaining to water temperature and fisheries. And the applicant has identified a couple of experts that we intend to engage to do that work. They've also advised that while we don't have a specific schedule, that they have a data collection process that will take some time to complete as well before they can prepare their expert reports. And those temperature and fishery studies are pretty important to Fish and Game. If we want to be able to address, they've also been raised by Trout Unlimited and I believe some others. And that's why I think the time schedule is probably more appropriate to have another status conference in 3 or 4 months to allow all of these motions to run their course and then identify a hearing date out sometime. But a year from now would be the earliest. I think the data collection issues raised by Ms. Bondi are consistent with those that the applicant has to do as well. Unfortunately, I don't have a timetable back from those consultants at this point in time.
Other commentary from the parties?
Director Al Barker, I had a couple of just quick procedural issues. One is, it would be most helpful if when all the parties serve and answer discovery, instead of we just get a notice of service, we actually get the actual discovery and actual discovery responses. I think that'll help move things along and make it easier for everybody to look at and say, well, I don't need to send discovery because that question's already been asked by another party. And so far, the only discovery that's been sent has been forwarded simply with a notice of service. And I would request that you order that all discovery and all discovery responses be served on all the parties, not simply on the propounding party. Number two, I had a pretty significant heartburn with the proposed mechanism for accessing documents that are ultimately covered by a protective order, but I'll address that in response if Mr. Butz decides to file a motion for reconsideration, since right now there are no documents subject to the protective order. And then the third question I have is on the timing of the hearing. And I think this is a question for Randy, is what is the schedule for the NEPA and ESA consultations that are going on as part of the PERC process, and will we have the results of those prior to any water rights hearing, to the extent that they may be relevant to the water rights hearing and the Rule 40 information requirement?
Before Randy responds, and thank you, Mr. Barker, because you remind me that there's another request that's pending out there for service on all the parties by electronic transmittals. So, and I think Cat Creek requested the electronic service, and we need to address that issue here today, and I think that might dovetail, Al, into your concern about the service of discovery documents on all the parties. Certainly, the electronic service would accommodate, it seems to me, your request. So I want to ask the parties, and I don't want to go through an absolute roll call, but is there anybody that objects to service, e-service, of documents on all the parties? Now, I want to remind you that the department's rules require that you serve paper copies on the agency and to the hearing officer. And certainly e-service is helpful to the department. But if the parties don't object, I would issue an order that would recognize or allow the service of documents by electronic medium. So does anybody object to the service electronically? Okay, so let's build that into the order that documents will be served electronically and that those the documents should include discovery requests as well, and then that will diminish the amount of paper and mailing costs when interrogatories or other discovery requests are sent to various parties. Now, how did I completely address? I certainly didn't address all of the issues, but maybe those within my control. And then I'll give Mr. Budge a chance to respond to your questions.
Yeah, Mr. Director, I think the you mentioned discovery requests, but I also think the order should have responses as well.
Okay, good. Thank you for the clarification. Randy? Question about NEPA documents.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yes, certainly agree with Al's suggestion in the order that all discovery requests and responses be served on all parties and we proceed with electronic service, so good to have those addressed in the order. I don't have an answer to Al on whether he asked if whether the FERC results would be available before the hearing here. Rather difficult to answer because we haven't set a hearing date here and the process is ongoing for FERC. I'm not a participant to that on behalf of CAFRI and simply don't know that answer. That's something that we could perhaps identify later.
If I may, this is James Cardinal on behalf of CAFRI. Director Spackman, Al, I believe the timing of the NEPA results will be third quarter of 2021.
Follow up, Al.
I guess the only follow-up I would have is in terms of a schedule, is it likely that any of that information is something that could be relevant to the hearing, and are we better off getting that information? I suspect that some of the sagegrass stuff that Ms. Bondi was talking about would also be part of that analysis that's done for the NEPA evaluations. I'm not suggesting that we have to wait. I'm just suggesting that there might be some valuable information there that could have a bearing on both the hydrology issues and, as well as the public interest issues. But again, I recognize your comment about allowing the applicant to essentially decide what is important for him and if they want to move ahead without that information. I suppose the parties could comment upon the fact that that information is not available to as part of the water rights evaluation.
Other commentary or proposals by the parties? All right, I want to just muse for a minute about the Rule 4005 information requirements and what we've just been discussing regarding additional information that will be developed over time. And my impression is, and this is a subject that I will struggle with, department's water appropriation rules require the submittal of information by the applicant so that the parties can then review that information and then determine from that information what additional information may be necessary, either for review by experts or challenge, or maybe the subject of additional discovery. And the rules are quite clear about the extent of information that's required. The concern that I have is, given the complexity of this particular application, what the timing of that submittal should be, and what the strict requirements of the rules might impose in terms of pre-submittal prior to development of a lot of that information. And I just voice that concern sort of musing about the interaction in an application, water right application of this size and complexity. And I don't know necessarily how to address that issue. I want to be sensitive to Ms. Hofstetter's and other protestants' need for information, and also recognize that there is a possibility that some of that information may be developed through independent processes out there. And go ahead.
Director Spadnett, if I could speak on the subject, and hopefully Randy won't interrupt. This is Dana Hofstetter. The rule, I think the Rule 40 information, as referenced in Schultz will be done, you know, is kind of a way of making sure that the applications, these larger applications, you know, are something we all should expend our time and resources on. And so it's different from discovery. Even the discovery, the parties can't require the applicant to create information. Whereas in the Rule 40 process, the applicant has a certain burden, it's almost part of their application burden to establish certain basic things, that the project, for instance, is financially viable, that it's going to have a revenue stream, that will, you know, be sufficient to counteract its capital costs and operating costs. And then also, is water available? You know, some great things that other water right holders would not be adversely impacted. So some basic things before we all spend a significant amount of time on these applications and resources. So, you know, I would posit that, you know, we've been working on this Rule 40 information for several months now, and the director has indicated that we are entitled to it. And so I think it is important that we get this information sooner rather than later, just to ensure that, you know, the application is complete and that this is indeed a viable project. And so, you know, along those lines, just to keep this on track, this Rule 40 process on track, I would suggest we schedule some dates, maybe for Randy to submit his petition for reconsideration, and to, you know, and for a hearing on the pending motion. But I do believe that the Rule 40 process is important, particularly here, where we're talking about a very large project, a potential for a lot of impact, and a lot of private and governmental resources being placed in this direction.
Dana, this is Gary again. Thank you, and your points are well taken. I think they certainly are pertinent, and I will consider them. Again, my musing was more a matter of a struggle, I guess, in applying the rules to this particular set of facts. And I'll do that as best I can. Now, I I'm not inclined to set deadlines. I think the petition for reconsideration has to come in under the rules within a set period of time, and I want to say that may be 14 days, but I haven't looked at it. But I'm looking at council right now, Garrick.
Because it was an interlocutory order, I don't know if the 14-day deadline specifically applies to it, but as I recall, I don't think our interlocutory order rule sets a specific deadline.
Well, if that's the case, if there's not a specific deadline in our rules of procedure, then I guess I'd turn around and say, Randy, I'd expect that motion to come in within 14 days. I think you need to consult with your client, determine whether it should be filed. I don't want it extended out for a long period of time. And my suggestion right now, and I don't want to cut off conversation other comments or recommendations, but my inclination right now is to set this matter again for another pre-hearing conference, maybe in November, and should have a chance then to have ruled on any motion for reconsideration. Parties will have had a chance to look at the additional information posted once the ruling is issued, and then I think we'll I should have a chance to address the renewed motion for submittal of the Rule 4005 information. So let's try to identify a day in November or December. Anybody have a preference? About the 12th of November. That's a Thursday.
Okay, here, Trent. I have just a moment to get a calendar up.
Yep.
Works for the ditch company's director.
When is vet? When is Veterans Day? Is that Veterans Day?
The 11th.
The 11th is Veterans Day. Okay. Well, let's target the 12th, 10 a.m. And we'll discuss then. After the ruling on the motions, we'll discuss the possibility of further scheduling at that time. Anything else today? Thanks, everybody, for your cooperation. Have a great day.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Say 10 a.m.